Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Just a few days after Christmas, more than 1 million of our fellow Americans lost a vital economic lifeline. The temporary insurance that helps folks make ends meet while they look for a job.
Right. More unemployment.
Republicans in Congress went home for the holidays and let that lifeline expire. And for many of their constituents who are unemployed...
You mean you went surfing and let the lifeline expire?
That leave them with no income at all.
Oh, come on. Let them get a job. Am I live? Welcome to the Savage Nation. It is the one and only Michael Savage. Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. So there's Obama's socialism at work. Unemployment insurance forever. I guess it's the perennial unemployment insurance. 13 weeks? Wasn't it supposed to be 13 weeks of unemployment until they found a job? It's been going on, I think, since he became president. Well, in the old days in Chicago, they went around to the derelicts and drug addicts in the streets and gave them bottles of whiskey to get them to vote for Democrats. I guess instead they give them things like this today. So here we are. Can you believe you made it to this day? By the way, this is not the first day I've been on in this slot. You missed last week's premiere shows. I'm sorry to tell you, you missed some of my best shows. As you well know, I'm on the best stations in America in this time slot on... You know, on the West Coast, it's 12 to 3. On the East Coast, it's the most coveted time slot in America, which is 3 to 6. If you care to call the Savage Nation infidels, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I don't have a question for you yet. First of all, most people are not back. Where does everyone get the money? It's like a ghost town where I live. They're still on vacation. Either the, you know, it's like a tale of two cities. One part of America's never done as well in years. Let's face it, it's booming. The silent America is miserable, horrible, unemployment, mortgages underwater, and in the big cities, they're booming. Real estate is out of control. Construction is, you know, boom, boom, boom. It's the Savage Nation, 855-407-282. I'm not sure what I want to talk about. I'm warming myself up. I think I do know what I want to talk about, which is, do you really care about the price of gasoline anymore? Does that matter? What if Obama made it $12 a gallon? Would it matter to you? No. I'm just trying to attract your attention. How about the Keystone XL pipeline? Why is that a big deal? Remember you heard it would wreck the environment, but you don't actually know why the oil is being transported from the Alberta tar sands to American refineries by railway car? You still don't know that, do you? Why shouldn't the oil go through the pipeline? Well, for one, the pipeline's been blocked by Obama. But why would Obama block the pipeline, since it's cheaper to send it by a pipeline? I figured it out. Here's my opinion. And it goes like this. So Warren Buffet goes to the surfer-in-chief, and he says to him a few years ago, I'll tell you what, I'll lobby for taxes on the rich as long as I don't have to pay them. And in turn, you block the Keystone XL pipeline, Mr. Obama. Let's then get the environmental lunatic to think we're really green on this, and bingo, that's the whole story. People may say, listening to Michael Savage, come on, that's too cynical. Well, let me give you an oblique scenario that's related to this. Do you know what came out today? The first act of the new Sandinista mayor of New York City, De Castro, whatever his name, Mario De Castro in New York, is to ban horse-drawn carriages in Central Park. That's the number one problem. It's not crime. The biggest problem is horses in Central Park. So you say, that hot-button issue is the first thing he does? De Blasio, why? Animal cruelty? Nonsense. Those horses are treated better than most people are in America. So why did he ban horse-drawn carriages, and what does it have to do with the XL pipeline? Listen to me. I did some research. Do you know what came out today? The land on which the horse stables sit consists of 64,000 square feet of valuable real estate on real estate lots that can accommodate up to 150,000 square feet of apartments, according to the man who set up a green group to lobby against cruelty against horses. He also happens to be one of de Blasio's biggest supporters. You see, he wants the land for housing development. So what does he do? He gets the left-wing idiots, the animal rights activists. He founds a 501c4 group called New Yorkers for Clean, Livable, and Safe Streets that then spends big money to elect de Blasio mayor, and here it is. The ideological left is really just the front for big money. So what does horse crap have to do with the oil pipeline? Everything. The same exact scenario is being acted out across America in the blockage of the Keystone XL pipeline. In other words, they get the lunatics to say it'll wreck the environment and this and that, and so therefore, you know, keep sending it by railway cars owned by Buffett at three times the price that it would cost to send it by pipeline. You see how this works? Don't call me. It's just too far ahead of everyone else in radio for you even to comment. See, one thing I learned about radio many, many years ago is that if I give you a topic that's original in thinking, as I just did, there's no way you can comment. If, on the other hand, I said, Obamacare, what do you think of it? The chorus calls in. Obamacare bad. Obamacare no good. So I understand. If you've heard it 50,000 times, you're ready to talk about it. And I don't really need your calls right now. Honestly, don't. I'm not ready for them. Don't want them. Don't need them. Not ready for them. Don't want them. Don't need them. Don't call about gas prices. Take down line 8 or I'll come. If you do, I'll turn the ISD, you know, if you go to a best of, if I get one call on the price of gas, I'm not doing it. Now, I warmed you up slightly today on this cold day across America for something that's really more important than the Keystone XL pipeline, and that is the traitors within our Defense Department and in the Obama regime. What? Traitors? That's impossible. Are you ready for this story? You heard of our F-35 fighter jet, right? Something about the most advanced fighter in the world, all supposed to be U.S. built. Did you know what Obama did while you slept and while you smoked crack? The F-35 fighter was supposed to be the fastest and most advanced fighter jet in the world. It was to be the envy of other nations. The parts, the jobs, the designs were said to be exclusively American. That's how they sold it to us, right? That was both to keep the plane secure from other nations who have shown they're adept and extremely interested in stealing our technologies, and also to secure American manufacturing interests. But guess what the government did? The United States military and its associated civilian contractors have for years now been using substandard, no-bid contract parts for this advanced jet from foreign manufacturers in their equipment. Are you ready for this one? They bought a $2 magnet for this airplane from China. Now, this magnet could be made in America. So why would this project, why would Lockheed, for example, why would Northrop Grumman go to China, a country routinely involved in stealing technological secrets from the U.S., why would they ask China to make a $2 magnet for a jet that costs this much money? Do you think it's to save money? No. Who in the Defense Department approved the use of these Chinese-made magnets? Who is it in the Defense Department under Obama who permitted the defense contractors to go around U.S. law to make this act legal, which is clearly not what it is? The companies and the government agencies involved claim that these projects would be at a standstill without the foreign parts. That's rubbish. That's total rubbish. The rules were put in place to ensure that no one could steal or compromise our jets, our fighter jets and radar arrays. Instead, these corrupt companies and government officials conspired to go around those rules and use parts that have now been shown to have hacks and backdoors installed into them. And I want to explain to you what I mean by that. Don't tune out on me. I realize you want to talk about nothing, but I tell you the truth. The time is short. We have a very small window to save America from this gang that can shoot very straight indeed. This gang that can shoot very straight indeed is selling us down the river as fast as they possibly can. When I tell you that I have evidence that these $2 magnets can and possibly have been encrypted with Chinese chips that can either control our jets once they're put in them, or read flight plans once they're put in them, or sabotage the jets when they're in combat, you better pay attention, because there are very, very deep enemies within this government. That's my opinion. And this show is about truth. It's truth to power. I'm one man alone. I have no power whatsoever. I'm not a congressman. I'm not a senator. I don't write for a newspaper. I have only a radio show. Admittedly, now it's one of the most important radio shows in the United States of America. They threw Wallbanger off, 52 of their crown jewel stations, including the one you're listening to me on. And here I am, and I'm giving you your money's worth. I've just given you something that nobody else in radio has given you yet. I hope all are talking about it tomorrow. I hope they learn to follow the leader. Because in this case, it's not about me, Michael Savage. It's about you, the American, and your government that is either not watching carefully enough or, in fact, is watching too carefully and doing things they shouldn't be doing. You know, last night, I must admit, I did something I shouldn't have done. And that is, I rarely do this, but I have to admit it on the radio. You know, I bashed the movie The Wolf of Wall Street. I said I wouldn't go. I heard it's just perverse and full of drugs. I went. I went to a late show. I'm exhausted from it. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. But what it was about, in addition to having destroyed the star forever, DiCaprio, whatever, has forever now lost any credibility he may have even had for a second as somebody caring about the environment. He's one of the worst scoundrels on the planet for portraying a drug-addicted stock world. Now, I don't know how many people use drugs to that extent, nor do I care. The movie theater was filled with 20-somethings in the late show, late 20s, early 30s, and every scene was either sexual debauchery or the use of quaaludes, cocaine, crack in one case by stockbrokers, all done with a laugh, and the audience cracked up thinking it was wonderful. And the lead character, as portrayed by DiCaprio, whatever his name is, tried to make these kids think that in order to become a rich man like the character in The Wolf of Wall Street, why, the road simply needs to be fueled with cocaine, crack, and quaaludes, and of course screwing everything that has a pulse. Now, this is one of the reasons that America is where it is at. It's because talented men like Martin Scorsese, who scored very easy with this, has absolutely no moral conscience whatsoever. He's another one of the lowest types in the history of the cinema and in the history of America, being lauded as a great filmmaker. He is shaping the minds of these kids. And all I could think of as I walked out in the theater was, what if it was a movie about a guy who went off to Afghanistan or Iraq to fight against Islamofascism, and they made him into the hero, someone who didn't use crack, someone who went and maybe came back whole, or someone who went and didn't come back at all. But the kids walked out of the theater saying, you know what? I want to be like that soldier. I want to protect my country. I love my nation. I said, what world are you living in, Michael Savage? What world are you living in? Those days are over. The degenerate left-wing filth have seized the nation. Just some thoughts. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. The phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Somewhere. We are rolling into segment two of hour one of day three of the new Savage Nation. Hello, infidels. Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. This is the Savage Nation. Wallbanger is no longer to be found. Wherever there is contaminated wallboard and the sound of a nail gun, he cannot be far behind. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. WABC James, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, as far as you were talking about, you know, subcontracting the parts for airplanes, you know, the problem is Obama, no matter how smart they say the guy is, he doesn't understand human nature. He doesn't understand our enemies.
Well, he understands human nature well enough to have become president.
But unfortunately, he thinks, you know our enemies are like bullies. You got to punch them in the face, give them a blade.
Yeah, but you think that Obama's naive. You're missing the whole point. He's pretty smart. I think you're underestimating Obama's guile.
You know, he's smart in certain areas, but unfortunately, he's not. You know, he's not like he's not a Reagan. You know, he's not willing to go out there and, you know, give these guys a beat down.
Yeah, but you're seeing it from the wrong side. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe he's playing for the other side?
Oh, yeah, no. All the time. I mean,
all right, so therefore he's doing a good job from his perspective. He's permitting magnets from China to be put into our F-35 fighter jet. By the way, magnets, which have probably been encrypted with chips that can either read our jet's position, control the jet, wreck the jet. How could this happen? How could this happen? It's not the first thing that we're looking at under this administration that's worrisome, is it?
Well, unfortunately, the other thing is, I think we need to get hit by some of these guys to teach these guys a lesson. You know, it's the only way they're going to...
We got hit on 9/11. What did they learn? The liberals attacked us for it. They said we did it.
Yeah.
After 9/11, the liberal press went into overdrive saying we got what we deserved because we shouldn't be in Muslim lands.
Well, we need to get hit.
They will never learn. What you don't understand is that a sane nation establishes sedition laws for good reason. Because in every country there are going to be seditious elements, meaning traitors. And they need to be found out and they need to be punished. Let me give you an example. Another one. I bought the New York Times today for, I need my laugh lines. It's $2.50 out here on the West Coast. I could have bought something else for the money. But I figure it's good show prep. Are you ready for the headline? The Muslim Brotherhood, this is the New York Times, Monday, January 6, 2014. The Muslim Brotherhood back in a fight to survive. I said, what? They're taking the side of the Muslim Brotherhood? The answer is yes. Yes, the New York Times, which took the side of Stalin during the 1930s, is now taking the side of the Muslim Brotherhood. This would be like you reading in 1939, 37, let's say if the Nazi Party had been outlawed by a patriotic German military, God willing that had happened. And then the Nazis started to fight the military and they came back slowly but surely. The New York Times would write, the Nazi Party back in a fight to survive, readjusting to outlaw status and testing German government from shadows. This is what they're doing now. Government media complex. Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. You found me, you found me, you found me, you found me, you found me. Maybe I've given you too much information to start with. Maybe I didn't make it simple enough for the average listener. Maybe if I said Obama, bad. Democrats, bad. Republicans, the answer. Republicans, good. Democrats, bad. Maybe that would be the way to do it. I tell you about a part in our F-35 that's illegal, not supposed to be made anywhere but in America, and Obama and the contractors went around the law and permit China to make a $2 part, a magnet that we believe has been encrypted with a chip. How could this be possible? How could people not be in prison or in front of a firing squad for this? In my time, if a contractor did that and they found out which shyster contractor did it, they try him, convict him, and they execute him. It's called treason. You say, well, it can't really be happening in America. You're over-exaggerating. You're an alarmist. I will refer again to the slime as expressed in the movie The Wolf of Wall Street. The drug addicts, for example, in that movie, as portrayed in that movie. Are you telling me that the people in the defense business are any better? I don't mean the engineers on the ground who make the thing, design and make the things. I'm talking about the business people who go after government contracts. Are you assuming they're of a better class than the low-life drug-addicted contractors as portrayed in that movie? Now, let's take it a step further. Why do you assume that your leadership in the Democrat Party in particular is any better than the scum in the movie Wall Street, Wolf? Why do you assume they're not drug addicts? That they'd sell their mother-in-law down the river for an extra nickel? They act like they would. They're selling their children's heritage. They're selling their children's financial future, military future. Why do you assume that they're any better than the drug addicts as portrayed in that movie? Why do you assume that they're a better class of people? What, because they wear a white shirt and tie on television? Something's very wrong with everything. Now, I can't blame the cold weather on Obama. I would like to. I have searched as far as I could all meteorological maps and whatnot over the past 100 years, and there's almost no way I can blame this on Axelrod and Obama or on Valerie Jarrett. I've tried, but it can't be done. But we can blame this on them. We could blame a lot of things on them, and we will. That's our job. See, our job in talk radio is to be a show about the truth. Otherwise, there's no point in it. What do you need, entertainment about a buffet? I can do that, but only when I'm in the mood. You don't need a buffet entertainment. You don't need stupid, stale jokes that are boring. You can get them anywhere. Ultimately, there's no reason for talk radio unless it exposes things or expounds on things that are normally not talked about or lets you vent on them. Otherwise, what's the point of talk radio? Think about it. Talk radio is the last vestige of truth in a conniving, sold-out media. The last vestige of it. The newspapers are gone. Sure, the Internet is there, but you can't talk to the Internet. You can only call a show like The Savage Nation and express yourself. Otherwise, forget about it. You've lost your democracy completely. It's gone. You say, well, it was gone a long time ago. Who are you kidding? You know, what are you, a naive? What's left? You know, look out for yourself. Look out for number one and forget about everyone else because no one's looking out for you. That is a correct attitude in a way, by the way. There is a correct attitude in that, which is let the world go where it wants. It's finished and it was over a long time ago. I get it. So you may as well talk about Teddy and the Indian buffet. Well, two reasons. One, Teddy is with the groomer today, number one. And number two, there's no Indian. How can I go to an Indian buffet between 12 and 3 on the West Coast? I'm dead in the water to talk about lunch now. I can't do that either. Maybe it's too heavy a topic for after a ball game. America after a ball game like yesterday, which I didn't watch, is the equivalent of chimpanzees and other simians in the zoo on a Monday after people threw candy over the moat. You're having a collective blood sugar collapse. You're not interested in anything. I don't blame you. What you should be interested in is your family and yourself at the end of the day. So let's move on. We got great calls. KSFO, John, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey. Hello, Mr. Savage. How are you?
Well, I never answer how I am because that's not relevant. Just tell me what's on your mind, please.
Yeah, F-35, the parts.
Yes, sir.
Two. Canceled. Chinese rolled one out. Guess why? Lockheed hired on Chinese engineers. They stole the plans. F-35. They hired on Chinese engineers. Stole a lot of stuff. Brought in a lot of parts from overseas. I know this because I signed a lot of the contracts. Everything that went in and out of there, I was the guy who signed the contracts.
Oh, my God. What, you worked for one of the defense contractors?
Yes, I did. I worked for Lockheed.
And what? They put Chinese nationals into those companies, and they let them work there, and then they ran home to their home country?
They were here on visas. They were engineers. They hired them on. They sent them through.
How long ago were they let in? Under which administration did it start, my friend?
It started under Bush Sr.
How do you like that? It's a bipartisan corruption. And I thought it was only Obama. How do you like that? I had no idea that Bush let this happen. Heck I didn't.
A long time ago, and it's continued on.
It's the same George Bush who found our troops in Fallujah and everywhere else who did their jobs unpatriotic for defending their own lives and court-martialed them. And I raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for Marines who were falsely accused under the great conservative, quote-unquote, George Bush. So I'm not shocked by this. It's a one-party system, and they're all like the people in the Wolf of Wall Street. They're all the same.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
John, this is very serious business. You're not an average caller. You were the contracts manager.
They tried to shut me up. They retired me. They tried to knock me down. I'm going to the United States Justice Department after them. They've tried everything they can to shut me up. I'm still...
Well, be very careful. I suggest you buy a pre-1970 car that does not have computer chips in it, or else you might be driving along at 55 and suddenly the car will do 100 and veer to the right and hit a telephone pole.
They've got my phones tapped. They're listening to this. Of course, I told you about the Echelon program. I told you about all that. I've got a lot...
Oh, you're the fellow who called about Echelon.
Oh, yeah.
John, where do you live? Somewhere on a mountaintop in Tennessee? Where are you living?
I'm still here in the Bay Area.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee. You're like Daniel Boone.
Daniel Boone, and you know what? I just tell him, come on, you guys want a war? I'll give you a war.
And, John, you know what I do when I have phone conversations now? I tell the people who are listening to me to drop dead. I tell whoever I'm talking to we're being listened to by a bunch of Soviet-era scum. and I pray to God they get cancer and everyone in their family dies of it.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Go back to Harvard, you piece of garbage. You spying piece of... That's the country I'm living in? Tell the spies to drop dead, get cancer, and their whole family should get cancer. Any one of them in the NSA listening in on your calls. Let them go to hell, all of them.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you know, I try...
What you're supposed to do is stand up and tell them to drop dead. That's what you're supposed to do. What country am I in?
I tried. You know what? I got sick and everything else. You know what they told me? We're not going to pay for nothing. Here, retired, go away, die. You know what? They kept me with my clearances. I still hold my clearances. I went to Honda. I went to Pete Stark. I tried to get them on my side. Honda's got my paperwork right now. He's with DOD, NSA. He's got all the paperwork trying to get me information, trying to get me help right now.
Well, maybe you go to work for China. I'm sure they'd be glad to hire you. You know all of the contracts. You could help the Chinese develop an F-35 faster than we can.
What? I care too much for this country. My father fought in two wars for this country.
Well, John, you're a throwback.
I betrayed the country.
Oh, John, don't be thinking of this country. There is no country. You don't have a country anymore.
It was an idea.
It's a market. It's just a market for the wolves of Wall Street. That's all it is. It's a market for the politicians who are nothing but lobbyists for the companies that do business around the world. They buy them cheaper than you could buy a hooker on Ella Street.
That's true. But you know what? Maybe we need to take it back.
Yeah, well, we'll have to leave it at that, since I'm not running a revolution here on the Savage Nation. John, you are a gem. You are really a gem. What you just said on this show about these defense contractors confirms my worst fears. But look, I went a step further than what I talked about in the first hour. The headline was, U.S. waived laws to keep F-35 on track with China-made parts. And then I talked about these $2 magnets that they bought from China. Do you know anything about those magnets, John?
Yes, I know a little bit about them. Yeah, we got a lot of parts in for the F-35 when it was in development, when they tried to make it replace the Harrier. Originally, that was supposed to replace the Harrier. It was supposed to be a jump jet. And then they found out it wouldn't work.
The Pentagon first disclosed problems with non-U.S. magnets in a little-noticed written statement to Congress in the spring of 2013. But the statement did not name companies involved and did not disclose that some of the parts came from China.
Right.
Officials at Northrop, Honeywell, and Lockheed declined to comment on the issue, referring queries to the Pentagon. To the Pentagon. Who's the Pentagon? Who runs the Pentagon? People like Leon Panetta?
Yep.
People like this jerk that they just put in there?
Yep.
Joe Della Vedova, spokesman for the F-35 Joint Program Office at the Pentagon, said the office was committed to ensuring that federal defense acquisition laws were strictly followed. That's rubbish. He's a liar. He's a liar. So the risk to national security is very grave, John. This is what I do my show for. And I do this every day. To me, if I were to rank all the problems in the world, the number one thing would be national security. You know, there's an old art of war, which I don't have to tell you, was written by an ancient Chinese philosopher. Can you tell us what it was? I can if you can't.
Go ahead.
Lao Tzu, The Art of War. And what he said was, is that the wisest military action is one in which you do not even fire a shot at the enemy. You defeat him from within. Does that ring the bell thousands of years later with this corrupt government defense contracting ring that we have around us?
Yes.
They could probably defeat us without firing a shot with this spying and this transfer of technology. This is how serious it is, John.
I know.
John, maybe I'm still too much of a Boy Scout, and maybe I should be talking about my favorite meatball recipe, but I can't do it anymore. I can hardly sleep at night over this. Well, John, did you get a copy of my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, yet?
No, I did not.
Well, I'm going to send it to you for free. Stay on the line. It's in paperback. It's a great book, way ahead of its time. Way ahead of its time. What time is it? Speaking of time, it's 46 minutes after the hour. So let me throw a question out to you, my loyal listeners on the best stations in America, in this new time slot. Remember, it's a tremendously powerful show right now. This is no longer an evening marginal show. It never really was marginal, because ideas have a way of being heard no matter when they're expressed. But now the audience is probably 100 to 1,000 times bigger than it was when I was on in the evening. So let me ask you a question. Phil, keep a few lines open for this one. What do you fear most about what Obama might do in 2014? What do you fear Obama, Axelrod, Valerie Jarrett, and the others in this regime might do in 2014? What are your worst fears? Now you say, oh, come on, you're just being a demagogue yourself. You're being an alarmist. Well, that might be true, except if you look at the books I've written over the last 10 or 15 years, every one of them, and every one of them, from the generic fear of liberalism, for example, here's one from 2002. Michael Savage, Saving America from the Liberal Assault on Our Schools, Faith, and Military, The Enemy Within. It's the one with me in the raincoat against the wall in North Beach. It's actually the best picture ever taken of me, the most artistic. Okay, can anyone listening to this program right now, anywhere in America, say to me, with a straight face, that the liberals have not assaulted our schools, have not assaulted our churches, and have not assaulted our military? No, you can't. So every one of my fears about liberalism in general have been found to come to pass, and every one of my fears about Obama to date have come to pass, and I'm asking you, what do you fear this character will do in 2014? 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
If Obama grants amnesty to the illegals, he should be impeached immediately. So should the entire Republican Party. 10,000 men must surround the Republican Party headquarters and demand that he be impeached. Why? Because it'll be the end of your vote. They will have stolen the vote right out from under you. Let me give you an example of what's coming in this country. In Nevada, they said that illegal aliens can seek a driver's license. The kicker is that they have to pass the driver's license test. 75% of the illiterate aliens failed the driver's license test. 75% of the illegal aliens who are illiterate not only in English but in Spanish as well have failed the written test needed for the card, under a new law that made the state the 11th nationally to offer driving privileges to illegal aliens, right? So they can't answer the questions. They can't read road signs, etc., etc. So listen to this. Liberal slime who backed the bill said that many illegals in the country drive anyway, and the law would make roads safer because they will be required to take the tests and have insurance. Well, now that they've mostly failed the test, I think what we're going to hear is the following. Literacy in English is racist, and any requirement to be literate needs to be abolished because it's a mark of the old America. Secondly, since this is really a motor voter law, or as I call the motor vehicle bureaus in California, the DMV, the Department of Mexican Voting, this is really just a method of getting Harry Reid permanently ensconced and the Democrats around him. You see, what you don't know is that the full public school requirement in Mexico is only the eighth grade. The eighth grade. And most of them who've come here haven't even completed the Mexican requirements of eighth grade. Most illegals have great difficulty signing their signature, even in their own language. They can't write cursive. Most illegals who come here are the most illiterate of their own country. They can't even read and write in Spanish. That's a fact. And so they will soon waive the rights to the written test, saying that they're racially biased, and they should just be awarded licenses because they're better than you are. That's the country you're living in. That's the country you're living in, and it's all about getting them to vote for a permanent Democrat socialist machine, in my opinion. This is the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America on the best stations in the country across the nation. Again, the phone number, 855-107-282. I'll be right back with all this and the latest news, right here on the Infidel Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm a high blue Monday. Got to work, tangles,
leave. Extra, extra, hear all about it. The United States waived laws to keep the F-35 fighter jet on track with parts made in China. Welcome to the program. The F-35B Lightning II aircraft, which is supposed to be our most advanced fighter jet yet, was built with laws banning Chinese-built components on these weapons and others in order to keep the $400 billion Lockheed Martin Corps F-35 fighter program on track in 2012 and 2013. And this went on even as some were voicing concerns about China's espionage and military buildup. But according to Pentagon documents reviewed by Reuters, Chief U.S. arms buyer Frank Kendall, we have a name, Frank Kendall, allowed two F-35 suppliers, Northrop Grumman Corps and Honeywell International, Inc., to use Chinese-made magnets for the new warplane's radar system, landing gears, and other hardware. Without the waivers, both companies could have faced sanctions for violating federal law, and the F-35 program could have faced further delays, we are told. I don't believe it. I don't believe a word of it. $2 magnet, we can't make it here? The GAO report, well, I don't have to read the rest of it, by the way. The waivers apply to inexpensive parts. It's bewildering. $2 magnets installed on a airplane, an F-35 plane, a $2 magnet? Why? Why can't we make the magnet? Now, they'll say, well, there's special minerals or metals in them, and we don't have them. That's rubbish. That's nonsense. We could have bought the rare minerals and made the magnets ourselves. And so maybe this is too complicated for most people. Maybe you'd rather hear about the goons throwing basketballs and the goons throwing footballs. And then you can become like any other third world moron who lives in a despotic nation. Maybe that's what you want, because America used to be a nation of vigilant people. Vigilance. Vigilance requires thinking. Vigilance requires thinking. And thinking requires energy. Energy requires focus. Focus requires brain power. And America, unfortunately, seems to be losing all of the above. So the story is from Reuters. It's on michaelsavage.com. Read it if you want. Here's a question for you. Here's some red meat. Here's some red meat for the Savage listener. Of course, there's only one open line. You better grab it. What do you fear Obama will do in 2014? What is the worst fear you have? That's all. Make it simple. That's all. Give me 15 minutes and you'll hear it. Let's go to Elizabeth on WABC Radio in New York City, the land of the horseless carriage. Elizabeth, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Welcome to the new time slot. I hope it brings you millions more listeners. Your insights and intelligence and the wonderful stories, but especially the insights into our nation, should be heard across the nation. And I just thank you so much for being here, and give Teddy a big hug. And I'll be thinking about that question that you just asked. And you're right.
Thank you. Elizabeth, thanks for listening to the program. Let me send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. It's my new paperback. For being such a loyal listener from WABC. Well, that's it. That's it. That's the story. Where's the one? Okay, WABC Murphy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael Savage. Thanks for having me. I'm side of this license these illegal aliens. I think it's great to license them and get them to self-report. I think anything you can do to get them to do that's great, but. But tell them they don't have to read and write, I think, makes it more dangerous. So,
well, why should they be given driver's licenses, even if they can read, when you know and I know it'll be used as an identity card, which will be a road to voting? I mean, you certainly don't want people who are not citizens voting, do you?
No, not at all. But I think that the use of it as an identity card is either part of a larger blueprint, a larger agenda.
Yes, okay, you're right about that. But remember, the liberals have made it so that identity is not required to vote. We're the only Western nation The only nation in the West does not that does not require voter ID, because Harry Reid and the illegitimate and the Democrat machine blocked any voter identification requirements. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
What country on earth would permit anyone to walk into a voting booth except the corrupt nation? You can thank Harry Reid and the Democrat clowns for that one. That's all. 855-407-2822. Savage Nation. Let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, on this great national program of ours. And Chris on KKOB is waiting. Chris, welcome to the program. You're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello. You said something earlier about the country being like the Wolf of Wall Street, and I completely disagree. I think the country's divided. You go to a movie like the Wolf of Wall Street, you're going to find people that like that. There are other movies, like there's a movie coming out called Lone Survivor. Now, I'm a veteran.
No, I guess I didn't make my point clear enough, or you weren't listening clearly. I said that, don't you think there are people in our government who are just like those people in that movie? Coke addicts, drug addicts, completely without conscience, don't even understand what country they're in, could care less, that it's only about profit for them? I said, don't you think there are people in the government like that? Don't you think there are people in the contracting business like that? That was my main point.
Okay, well, I agree with that exactly.
No, I didn't say the whole country's like that. We would have been long gone if everyone was like that. I was saying that, look at the Democrat Party. They behave like these amoral characters in The Wolf of Wall Street, is my point, Chris.
Well, and the GOP is doing the same thing right now.
Well, that's right. I'm not a big fan of the Republican Party, but we'll talk about that at another time. I'm glad we clarified that one. What's your biggest fear? It's that simple. What is your biggest fear as to what the surfer will do in 2014? Now, Michelle Obama is not here. She's on vacation. She's spending an extended vacation at Oprah Winfrey's. Oprah, I don't know what her last name is, Winfrey or something. Winfrey? She must have won big at a racetrack. Winfrey. Michelle Obama spending extended vacation at Oprah Winfrey's Maui home. Isn't that cute? The girl's night out. Isn't there something odd about this couple? A girl's getaway? Is there something odd about it? It's almost creepy. I'm not a fan of Oprah Winfrey, by the way. I don't think she's as smart as they think she is. She's just rich. But why would the White House let the First Lady to stay behind in Hawaii? I don't understand this. The daughters and the husband came home on January 4th, 2 days ago. They returned on the 5th. Why is the wife, isn't there something weird about this to you? Don't call. Don't call on it. It's just weird to me. It doesn't seem right. It seems something wrong with it. There's something like odd about that. Why is she there? And how is she getting home? Are they going to send her Air Force One with an entourage to get her 75 assistants to come home with her? We useful idiots are going to pay for her extravagance. The most extravagant first lady in American history? What about the cadre of users, hangers-on, handholders, Secret Service, beauticians, and others who tend to our queen? Who's going to fly them back? Who's going to fly royalty back? Another vacation in Hawaii. A so-called public service servant. Unbelievable to me how you put up with that. Whatever. They're behaving like rap stars, not like the first couple. That's what it looks like to me. Albuquerque, KKOB, Montego, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes. I called in because I'm totally against illegal immigrants. It's a game being played on the United States. We're talking peasants that live within 100 miles of the Mexican-American border. We're not talking about the intelligentsia from places like Mexico City.
That's right. You're not talking about people who can read and write Spanish even. They're illiterate. Most of them can't even read Spanish.
And for them to try to, first off, they already think, I'm black American. They think we're their competition. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The average black American can read and write. Me, myself, I can say hello and goodbye in several different languages. So I don't know who they're talking. I'm not a peasant. I'm a college graduate. And at the same time, I believe this. People every day in America swore allegiance to this country and become legal residents of the United States of America in federal courthouses all across this country, because this country has laws and provisions where you can become a citizen if you go through the proper procedures.
So of course it's not a racial issue. I wouldn't assume that most African Americans are in favor of granting amnesty to illegals. I would think that no matter what their party affiliation is, or no matter how much they may slavishly worship Obama, they're not in favor of granting amnesty to illegal aliens. I can guarantee it. If you poll the African-American community across the board, 95% of them would oppose amnesty for illegal aliens.
Right, because eventually, I guarantee you that it will impact the black community, the black youth. A lot of our black youth don't have jobs, but a lot of those black youth are also going to community colleges. They need the low-skill jobs, the $10 an hour and less type jobs for added money so they can go to college. We didn't just come across the border last week. We've been here for 400 years.
That's right. It's very interesting what you say. People don't realize that, but it goes back to when I was living in New York City in the mid-80s, and I ran into an African-American friend. I got to know him. He invited me to his house, and he showed me that his family had been there since the 1600s. And showed me the graveyard where his ancestors were buried. And I really didn't realize that.
Right.
It was hard to believe how far back that community went.
We're talking about around 1607. For a people who have gone through slavery, but to this day have basically been law-abiding and supportive citizens fighting in all the wars, We're a completely different person. We can't be compared to people who are just walking across the border as soon as they get over.
Well, of course that's true. Then why does the Democrat Party lump you together with the folks from Mexico? It's because fundamentally the white liberal is a racist who thinks that anyone of color is a peon to be thrown into the same voter pool.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I have known people in this world who Republicans have treated me better than any Democrat ever could. If you go to the top of both parties, you'll find out a lot of them all have estates at Kennebunkport, Maine. One just happens to be a Democrat, the other one just happens to be a Republican. But
of course it's a shell game. We know that. You know, power is power, Montego. We're not children. Power is power. I mean, I'm a cynic through and through. And when I look at things, or shall I say a skeptic, which puts me in a slightly more operational mode, I'm very skeptical of the political class. We know that they'd sell us down the river for a dime. But to me, when it comes to national security issues, that's the final firewall. And anyone who is doing to us what was done with these parts from China in the F-35, frankly, should be tried and found guilty. They should be hung. They should be hung on a pay-per-view. Thank you very much for calling the program. That brings us up to the first stop set, 18 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
$5 trillion in debt. $5 trillion.
Mark Levin.
Obama is a human wrecking ball.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
It is The Savage Nation. There's so many other good topics out there that are exciting and, you know, provocative. There was a Chinese-American author who I like very much who called herself the Tiger Mother, and she talked about how to raise children. I like it because I was raised like that in my own way, even though I'm not of Chinese descent. Very tough mother. She called her daughter stupid because she didn't get 100 on something. That kind of mother. So now she comes back with a new controversial book where she says there are 8 cultural groups that are most likely to succeed. Well, they're calling her every name under the sun. And she's the woman who wrote a book about strict parenting. She is now back with a new book claiming that there are 8 racial groups that are better than the rest. Oh, I don't want to step into this one, but the book is out there, okay? We'll see where that book leads her. I'm sure that it'll be a bestseller. Then there's a story out of New York that's very disturbing. An Orthodox Jewish slumlord who wears one of those fur hats was found burned in a dumpster. His body was smoldering when he was found. They buried him over the weekend. I mean, no one should die that way. But his kin are offering $25,000 to help the NYPD arrest the devil who killed their slumlord brother in arms. I don't know, whatever. Now, there's a lot to this story. First of all, let's start with no one should die that way. Murdered Brooklyn landlord Menachem Stark's family says the devil did this. Friends and family members insist the married father of 8, who was kidnapped in broad daylight during the snowstorm over the weekend, He was suffocated and burned to death. Was beloved in his tight-knit Williamsburg community. But, this is what came out today, some say he could have been the victim of a mob hit or a hate crime and attribute negative rumors about him to jealousy. Well, read the whole story. You know, you look carefully at this. Something, there's someone sending a message to somebody. You know, here's what I'm trying to say to you. I don't care what the religion is. It could be Orthodox Jewish people. It could be fundamentalist Christians. It could be radical Muslims. When you look at people wearing religious garb, don't assume that they're holy. That's all I want to say to you. Many people wear the garb but don't walk in God's light. They wear the garb, but frankly, they'll cut your throat for 10 cents. And that goes across the board. Or they'll cut your throat for their religion. That's all I want to say to you. I didn't say about him. I'm not impressed with someone because they have a beard and a black hat. It doesn't mean anything to me. I've seen too many holy rollers who are the most despicable people I've ever met on the planet. And then I've seen people who are atheists who are perfectly fine human beings. So I don't know what this guy was, but no one should die that way. Let me be very clear. But you read the whole story in the local tabloids in New York, the Post, the News, you find out there's an awful lot of people who hated his guts. He didn't pay loans. He let people live like animals in the slums he owned, you know. So anybody could have been done this, according to the detective. The reason I say this is that I'm a realist. And I've been around the earth long enough to have seen so many horrible things done while the holy men around me were doing them. I was once on an airplane with a woman who was 9 months pregnant. And frankly, one of these people from this particular type of group was in the seat by the window. And this woman, 9 months pregnant, was in the middle seat and I was in the aisle seat. Well, the minute the plane landed at LaGuardia, the holy man, who must have weighed 200 pounds, jumped up and almost crushed the 9-month pregnant woman because she wasn't wearing the right religious garb. That's when I came to understand that not everyone who wears the garb walks the walk of God. But no one should die this way anyway. It's the Savage Nation. What do you fear most about what Obama may do in 2014? Atheists can call as well. 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here come Tuesday, it's the Savage Nation. We're off on road. You know, this is like the real opening show. I opened on Thursday. I did a Thursday and Friday. But it was like a soft opening in a restaurant last week. They were actually better shows than today, to be honest. I threw everything I had at my show last Thursday and Friday. It was so good. Both of them were good, but I don't know how many people heard it. Did you hear my shows last week? Is there any listening to the show heard Thursday and Friday? I'm good today, but I'll tell you, it's about a 90. If I were my father, I'd rate it like a 90, 91. Last Thursday, Friday, they were both 99s to 100. And okay, that's the way it's going to be. I'll take 90s, 91s in a sea of 40 and 45s. You know, that's all. I'll do the best I can. Here we are. I gave you some new stuff about the Chinese parts. That's good. Went over most people's heads. They're interested only in the sports game. I didn't watch the game. 42 million people watched it. I guess there's several Americas. I'm not part of that America. I am not a sports fan. I don't want to knock you if you watch the game. Many people do who are very intelligent. Many people who watch America's Funniest Home Videos are very intelligent. Many people who watch pornography are very intelligent. That doesn't mean that I have to join you, does it? No. But then on the other hand, I'm an average guy as well in many ways. Mr. PhD also goes to the movies. Also watches movies. Also, you know, so the thing is, it's not like I'm an elitist because I don't watch sports. I don't find them interesting. I don't find sports interesting, not in a time when a country is melting down. To me, it's like watching people in Uruguay at a soccer match. And how's the government in Uruguay working out for the people? I used to laugh at the third world, how crazy they were about soccer. And I said, that's what you expect from peasants who all they care about is how their soccer team is doing. Well, basically because of the influx of illegal aliens into America, what was already a lowest common denominator has gotten even lower. That's all. TV rating Sunday. Revenge returns up. The Good Wife and the Mentalist down. Never heard of them. The Simpsons and Bob's Burgers were up. You hear the country I'm living in? Bob's Burgers. Countdown to Juan Pablo. That's a television show. I can't believe the country. And they have numbers that are shocking. NFL football had 41.5 million viewers. Can you believe this? America's Funniest Home Videos had 6.8 million viewers. I mean, if I had 6.8 million viewers, I don't know if that's, I don't know how many I have. I don't know anymore. With the new show and all the new stations, I really don't know what the numbers might be. When I was the third largest show, it was 8 to 10 million, so they said it was probably much higher with the internet. Probably 20 million was the real number. So my numbers are still pretty high, but not like NFL football. Bob's Burgers had 6.3 million viewers. Family Guy on Fox had 5.7 million viewers. Best of Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. I know about the Farallon Islands. Jimmy Farallon Islands, 5 million viewers. American Dad, 5 million viewers. Mentalist. So I went and saw The Wolf of Wall Street last night. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I almost walked out after the opening 10 minutes. The drug use, the glorification of drug use, the glorification of greed, the despicable nature of Leon DiCaprio, the Tuto di Lo Capito has so embarrassed himself with this movie. You know what really bothers me about this character? I don't mind that he's a famous movie star. He happens to be a good actor, and I've watched him since he was a kid in that movie with De Niro when he played the kid at Oregon. He's always been a good actor. But that he has to pretend that he's into the environment. I don't mind that he's a degenerate lowlife. I don't mind that he has a yacht. I don't mind that he has his own plane. God bless him, he earned it. But then to make believe he cares about the environment while having all of these broads on his yacht, what's he looking at? The damage to the sea? In between orgies? In between puking over the side from whatever he may be doing on the boat, that's what he's doing, is really looking down to see how the sea is polluted from the drugs that are going overboard. From the toilets? What, is he kidding me? Why do they have to fake it? Does anyone believe a word they say? He's only an actor. But I didn't walk out. I stayed and watched the whole thing, and so I saw what greed is. I saw what venality is. I suppose that's what Scorsese was trying to say. But he's no different. Scorsese allegedly was a drug user in his day. I read that he was into the smackaroo job. That's his problem. It's not my problem. But he glorifies it in this movie. That's the problem, because the movie was filled with 20-somethings. I don't know, do they not have jobs? What, are they all on Obama's unemployment and food stamps? And every time some of these characters in the movie would either snort coke, and then the Capito character would say, well, in order to get ahead, you got to use the drug. They were imprinting on this. Young people imprint on movies. You know, it's very powerful. The movies are the most powerful force in American culture. And here they are teaching children that using drugs is the road to success. In order to fuel your road to success, you have to be a cokehead or a Quaalude user. And then you'll get all the pretty women, and you'll make all of the money. That was the point I was trying to make, and it was really pretty frightening to see these kids laughing at all of that drug use. That's all. So you say, okay, so what are you bothering talking about it? You're just, you know, building up the ratings. Whatever, look, my show's called The Savage Nation, as you know, right? And it's called News, Views, and Reviews. So I'm giving you a review of the movie. If you want your children to imprint on using drugs and being a venal human being, take them to see this movie. It's the worst, one of the worst films I've ever seen. The excess was unnecessary. We've heard about gratuitous violence, right? This was gratuitous drug use, gratuitous degeneracy of the lowest order. So now you'll rush out and see the movie. Don't go to it. You'll be upset by it. You will be. You shouldn't go see it. Honest to God. I don't think you should waste your money. There's nothing new under the sun in that regard. What else is Hollywood, you know? What do they produce? Something of a value? Something of quality? No. So let's go now to the newspapers, another great area of my reviews. New York Times, Monday, January 6, 2014. Top right. Now, this is something you have to listen to, the headline. National Edition. The Muslim Brotherhood back in a fight to survive. What? I couldn't believe it. They're making them like the Robin Hoods of Egypt. Readjusting to outlaw status and testing Egypt's government from shadows, written by Karim Fahim. So now they have a Muslim Brotherhood sympathizer writing for the New York Times, sympathizing with this group of gangsters. unbelievable to me. This is unbelievable. J.P. Morgan nears deal in case tied to Madoff. Okay, that's near and dear to my heart. That's on the business day. I'm not even ready for that one. Colorado River drought forces a painful reckoning for states. I could care less. What am I going to do about a river? Kerry sees a role for Iran and Syria talks. That's a big story. You talk about the enemy within. Kerry has always been an enemy within, in my estimation. Now we have a bunch of them running the whole country. Why would Kerry invite Iran into peace talks with Syria when Iran has been behind killing our men in Iraq and Afghanistan all these years? Which side is Kerry on? I'll let you figure it out. Now, many of you would say, well, the liberal way is to include everybody in talks. That even your enemy, it's best to sit down with your enemies and talk to them. Yeah, well, that is one way to look at it, I suppose. But I'll tell you what, this negotiating from a point of weakness has never worked. Tour of Mideast, Kerry says Iran might play a role in Syria peace talks. Involvement could be limited if the goal of a conference is not accepted. Come on. Can't you see through these people? Can't you see what these liberals are and what they're doing to us at every turn in every way? Whatever. Whatever. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Texas, WBAP, the great WBAP. Not everyone could say they're on WBAP, by the way. No, that's a powerhouse station that Wallbanger lost and I gained. His loss is my gain. I shouldn't talk about him, but I have to set the record straight. The contaminated wallboard fitter lost 52 Cumulus stations, and I now have over 200 stations with almost 100 live. Admittedly, I'm starting smaller than, you know, the overall number, but the stations are so big, they're the crown jewels of talk radio, and if you get on with Savage, you'll reach more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life, simply by dialing 855-407-282, or going to michaelsavage.com, or buying the book, or getting the rug, or the toupee, or the floor mat. How many things can these people sell? Do they sell toupees yet to the audience? Are selling not toupees yet with the Constitution on the inside, a Bill of Rights on the inside of the toupee, the special toupee with a trick Bill of Rights on the inside, or a picture of George Washington under the toupee. Let's go to what did I say? BAP? Yes. Bob, on WBAP in Texas, welcome to the program. You're on the radio with Michael Savage and millions of others.
Yes, are you talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. I have an answer to your question that has to do with what you think Obama will do. And before I state the answer, I'm going to give you a very quick little biographical thing. I'm 74 years old, a retired CPA. I worked for an international accounting firm.
But what is your main fear that Obama will do in 2014? I think that's what you called about.
Because all the credentials don't care. I really think, and I don't know, it's hard.
Bob, you're not here. Bob, can you hear me at all? What is your number one fear about Obama for 2014?
He is going to somehow figure a way to put martial law into action and therefore extend his presidential...
So you fear a Reichstag fire kind of thing?
Sorry?
You fear a Reichstag fire kind of event?
Oh, it's not constitutional, but that guy has done a whole bunch of non-constitutional stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I've always feared that he would grant himself a third term through some trick. And that is a rational fear, by the way. That is a rational fear. I thank you for that rational fear on the Savage Nation. What do you fear on the Savage Nation? Let's go to Kansas City on KCMO. This is another flamethrower station. KCMO, another one. You know how big these stations are? Do you know what a dream this is for me to be on these stations? Look, you know, it's like radio is not radio is not radio. It's not all the same. There are huge shows, and then there are shows. And there are some very talented people in the business, but I have actually been granted a blessing with all the stations I'm on right now. So I take it very seriously. KCMO, Ed, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to talk to you. My greatest fear is the Russians have told the Saudi Arabians if there's any shooting at the Olympics coming up in this next month, that they're going to obliterate Saudi Arabia. which I think is going to be a nuclear attack.
Wait. Say that again. The Russians have said if what happens, they're going to eliminate Saudi Arabia?
What happened was, you can look this up on, I got it off the internet. What happened was this principle.
Wait. But the internet, as you know, is full of rumor and gossip.
Sir,
the internet is filled with rumor and gossip, so give us the rumor.
Okay. That he told Putin that Putin has to back off supporting Syria, and if...
Wait, hold on. I'm losing you. Who told Putin this?
Prince Bandar, the Saudi Arabian. He said if Putin...
Okay, so the Saudis told Russia they have to stop backing who?
Assad in Syria.
But wait a minute. The Saudis, who are Sunnis, are on the same side as Assad. I believe they don't want the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda, rather, to win amongst the so-called rebel thugs.
Right.
And so why would they want Russia to back off supporting Assad? Assad is a Russian client.
I know.
So they're on the same side in Syria.
Yeah?
Ed, they're on the same side in the Syrian civil war.
No, but... Saudi Arabia is supporting the rebels.
Now, why would the Saudi Arabians support Al-Qaeda?
I don't know.
Are you sure they're supporting the rebels?
Well, yeah.
I think you need to research that a little bit more thoroughly before we even discuss it. Because the real trick wild card in Syria is Israel. And as you well know, although Assad is one of the worst men in the history of the planet, he is the devil that we know. And we must be very cautious before we overthrow him, as was done in Libya with Gaddafi, as was done in Egypt with Mubarak. The devil you know may be the devil that you must work with, rather than the many devils waiting in the wings. So this is very important to study this in great detail. The time is so short right now. It's 48 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We make this promise to one another because it makes a difference to a mother who needs help feeding her kids while she's looking for work.
Yeah, while you were flying from Hawaii. All right, turn it off. So Obama's now wanting to extend the unemployment insurance benefits for God knows how many more months, which is outrageous, especially when we are told on one hand that the economy is doing better, unemployment is down, and yet he wants a perennial underclass. Let me explain something to you. There's a story about an entire class that failed when Obama's socialism experiment failed. Listen to this carefully. An economics professor at a local college made a statement that he had never failed a single student before, but had recently failed an entire class. Why? The class had insisted that Obama's socialism worked and that no one would be poor and no one would be rich. He's a great equalizer. So the professor said, okay, we'll have an experiment in this class on Obama's plan. All grades will be averaged and everyone will receive the same grade, so no one will fail and nobody will receive an A. Substituting grades for dollars, that would be something closer to home and more readily understood by those of you arguing for equality. So after the first test, the grades were average and everyone got a B. The students who studied hard were upset, and the students who studied little were happy. As the second test rolled around, the students who studied little had studied even less, and the ones who studied hard decided, you know what, I want a free ride too, so I'm not going to study as much as I did. So the second test average was a D. No one was happy. When the third test rolled around, the average was an F. As the tests went on, the scores never increased, as bickering, blame, and name-calling all resulted in hard feeling. Eventually, all of them failed, and the professor told him that socialism would also ultimately fail, because when the reward is great, the effort to succeed is great. But when government takes away all the reward away, no one will try or want to succeed. That's socialism, children. This is the Savage Nation, infidels. 855-407-282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The reason why you won't talk to Kim Jong-un about his prison camps.
The only thing we're doing right now, as you can see right now, I got all the NBA players here going to play a game right now. And that's the one thing I'm trying to do right now.
But why won't you actually bring up the prison camp issue and his human rights issue?
That's not my job. That's not my job.
But it is, in a sense, your job, because you're the only American with access to him.
Well, the only thing I'm doing right now, hopefully we do one thing. This game is for his birthday. It's for his birthday. And hoping that if this opens the doors and we can actually talk about certain things, we can do certain things. But I'm not going to sit there and go and say, hey, guy, you're doing the wrong thing. It's not the right thing to do. He's my friend first. He's my friend.
What a sad state of affairs. A basketball goon, Dennis Rotten, goes to the prison camp called North Korea. And finally, one reporter with guts, not from America, of course, from Sky News, says to the basketball goon, why won't you talk to Kim Jong-un about his prison camps? And the basketball goon says, because he's my friend. 41 million people watched a football game yesterday. You wonder why we have what we have, the shysters and con men in the most powerful positions in America, because you're watching sports. Now, it gets even worse, though. Did you hear what Kerry did today? Maybe it's too much ketchup. I don't know the answer. Kerry issues a terrorist warning about Iran and then suggests that Iran, which is on our terrorist list, should play a role in negotiating Syria. Did you hear what I just said to you? Secretary of Hate John Kerry is under fire after suggesting Iran could play a role in the Syrian peace talks, either formally or informally, despite the fact that the State Department, under this idiot, for decades has singled out Iran as one of the prime sponsors of terrorism. But it gets worse. Now that Obamacare is seen for the debacle it is, the divider-in-chief is moving to income inequality as his next gambit to get the unwashed masses to turn against the productive class in America. Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. 855-400-SAVAGE is the phone number. The website is michaelsavage.com. This is a government gone wild. This is a government gone wild. Virtually everything they touch goes wrong. The only reason the country is functioning at all is despite the government, not because of it. Do you understand the difference? The people in this country are the hardest workers on the planet, the most productive. They get around the government in order to be productive. The only reason the country is functioning is because of you. It's that simple. So I asked you in the last hour, what is your biggest fear? What do you fear the most in 2014? I know it's early in the year, it's January 2014, but things have a way of moving much faster than we may think. And Obama is so devious and so despotic in his inclinations that many of you have very real fears about him. I wasn't going to divulge this to you, but I may as well, because it's going to be published, I guess, any day in the publisher's catalog anyway. So if someone rips me off, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to tell you something that I've not said anywhere. I've not printed it anywhere. I've not published it anywhere. You're hearing it as an exclusive first right now. In the next minute on The Savage Nation. Tell your friends about it. I want you to send it out on Facebook and Twitter. The book is not coming out until next October 2014. It's my attempt to influence the outcome of the midterm elections, which are the last chance we will have to rescue the country from the despotic gang that can shoot very straight indeed. And I have been working on a book for 6 months now, which I feel I have to tell you about, because I don't think it can wait. The title of the book, The Coming Civil War. That's the title of my new book. It'll be out in October. You heard it first. It'll be in the publisher's catalog very shortly. But it's not just the coming civil war. It's how to stop it. I'm not going to tell you any more about the book. I've been working on it for 6 months. Now you can understand why I'm agitated, is because I probably have the best stethoscope in the land in terms of the American heartbeat. and I hear the fibrillation. I hear the skipped beats. I hear the fears. I am the doctor. The doctor is in, and I hear the fibrillation. I hear the fears in the American heartland, and I fear that they're right. And I fear that this despotic regime will stop at nothing to hold on to power. I fear that they're no different than the characters portrayed in that movie, The Wolf of Wall Street. I fear that they're so despicable and so immoral. I fear that they love power so much, the way those people on Wall Street loved money so much, they will do anything. They will burn a nation to the ground to hold on to power. In that regard, they're not different than previous despotic regimes, both in this country and afar. And that's why I say to you, this is no joking matter. This is not a laughing matter. This is not something just for ratings. Anyone who knows me knows that there's much more to it than just having a good time, although I hope we can have a good time. So I ask you again, what are your worst fears for 2014? Now, my last two books were Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. Everything I predicted came true. Then I wrote a blockbuster called Trickle Down Tyranny, crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. Although I was right, it had no effect whatsoever. It got worse. Then I wrote two novels, best-selling novels. The first was Abuse of Power. The second was A Time for War. Both of them made the New York Times bestseller list. They were not reviewed in your local Stalinist newspapers, but many of you understand that I'm doing the best I can around the clock in books, writings, and on the radio to alert you. So here we are, January 2014. It's new in the year, and I'm long in the year. I'm long in the years, and I'm new in the year. And I welcome your calls on the program. Ralph, on WABC, what's your deepest fear about what this gang will do?
Hello, Michael. Number one, congratulations on your new post. Enjoy listening to you.
Thank you. I'm glad you had the time during the day to listen to the show.
My greatest concern is that the Tea Party is going to be branded as the next terrorist organization. Shutting down...
They did that in some despotic nations. That's certainly something they could do. The Tea Party, of course, represents the working middle class, as we all know. And, of course, to socialist Leninists like this, the bourgeoisie are the terrorists. That's what Stalin did. He named the productive agricultural owners, meaning farmers, in the ex-Soviet Union in the 1930s were declared kulaks. First, they start by branding people. They give them a bad name. So they started to curse. In the Soviet Union, they cursed the farmers and call them exploiters, etc., unfair for growing the food and charging a profit for it, the same way Obama's doing to the working class in this country. So you're absolutely right. It could happen.
Yeah.
What, an outlawed as a dangerous group of people that shouldn't be allowed to meet? Is that it?
That's correct. Another few months, we're going to start seeing arrests, not just spying on their...
So in other words, the illegal aliens who don't even speak English, can't even read or write Spanish, are now the heroes of the Obama administration, and the tax-paying working-class, middle-class Americans are the terrorists. Is that how you see it? A world upside down?
Correct. 100%.
Oh, God. Oh, I can't be the only one who sees this, can I? Well, okay, God sees the truth but waits. But God, if we can make a prayer to you, how about doing something? If you see the truth, what are you waiting for? Now is the time to act. 855-400-7282. Let's go to Washington, D.C., WMAL, another great Cumulus station. Ben, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation from WMAL.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, Chris Rock made a joke years ago about why Obama got in the race so early, and that's because he's a Kenyan. The longer the race, the better.
No, not bad.
And, if you're not thinking about these driver's licenses and then the implications for the 2020 census, you're not thinking like Obama.
Well, I wrote about it. Of course I'm thinking like Obama. I've been screaming about granting amnesty to illegals, that it's all about the vote. Of course it is. What else is it about? What, he has compassion for Mexicans?
Not the vote. The census counts people, counts residents, not...
No, I understand. And a portion, and then they apportion congressmen accordingly. I get it.
And highway dollars and other spending. I mean, it's, you know, if And if you've got any demographic, and this is, you know, kind of an apolitical statement, but you've got any demographic that's voting 70% your way, don't you want to make sure they're all counted?
Sure. And then the hell with the other 30%. You don't care what happens to the country. I get it. I understand how unprincipled people work and think.
Well, look,
we still have freedom of speech. How much longer that will last is another question, isn't it?
Well, they're voting for you right now, so you do everything you can.
That's right. I appreciate your listening to the Savage Nation. I certainly do. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. You give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. One thing I can guarantee you, this is an Obamacare-free zone. In other words, you're not going to hear me do what Wallbanger does for his stock and trade. I'm not going to talk about Obamacare. I mean, what do you need to know about it? You know, number two, my guests will not include Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. Number three, it will not include failed female authors who are way past their prime. It will be my views and your calls. It's that simple. So I asked you, what are your fears, your worst fears for 2014? And many of you have called with your fears. And if you think this is fear-mongering, you're mistaken. Because everything I feared and have written about for the last 10 years about liberalism in general, and Obama in particular, unfortunately have come to pass. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope that my predictions from here forward are all wrong. That's all. So what are your fears? Sandra on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Hi. My greatest fear is that we're headed towards Obama being a dictator, and that we're all going to get corralled up and hauled into FEMA camps for whatever
reason. FEMA camps. Well, at least the rents will be lower. and then people can't complain about high rents if they're put into FEMA camps. I suppose it'll be government subsidized if we're put into FEMA camps. They may even allow us to have our own radio station, our own radio show in the FEMA camps.
You reckon?
Well, I intend to be number one in FEMA camps if that's where I wind up. Hello, infidels. Welcome to KFEMA. See, at least we can, you know, look, if you lose your sense of humor along the way, Sharon, you lose everything, right, Sandra?
Absolutely, yeah. I've always held on to mine.
Right. So I'm glad that you understand that a sense of humor is paramount in times as, let us say, as threatening as these are with the surfer in the White House. Thank you for the call. KCMO, Kansas City. Karen, we're getting a lot of great Savagettes calling today. Karen, what's your greatest fear? Go ahead, please.
Hi, it's a pleasure to talk with you. My greatest fear is that the administration conveniently takes out a satellite or two, thus disrupting our communication, which would then cause there are no ATMs, there's no gasoline, there's no food distribution.
No, how would that work to the betterment of the Obama gang? How would that help them?
Because they would then impose martial law. They would step in and say...
So you have a really dire, horrible fear about this man and his minions.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
You have a real fear, but I don't think it'll go there. I don't think it'll turn to that point. I don't think they need to go that far. Remember, they want things to run rather smoothly, to some extent. And on the other hand, then they want certain segments of the population to have a lot of pressure and a lot of fear. KSEV, Houston, Texas. Mark, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I work for the federal court system in the Houston, Texas area. And about 3 months ago, we had a gentleman in court that had gone to China, was purchasing parts. The Chinese government knew where the parts were going, and that he was supplying them to the Department of Defense. And apparently, these things had a back door on them that some way that once they're installed, Chinese could read all our email.
So in other words, my fear about the F-35 strike aircraft using $2 magnets made in China, my fear that chips were put into them in order to read, let us say, whatever they want to read about that jet, is real, very real.
Yeah, the guy actually went to trial and was convicted about, I guess, 6 months ago.
And why aren't the Republicans insisting that the man who permitted these $2 magnets from China to be used on our F-35s be sent to court right now and tried for treason? Why are the Republicans sitting quietly? Why are they saying nothing?
Good question. Another thing came out that a lot of times they would have people go around throwing down thumb drives. Around different places on the bases. And, you know, what's the most natural thing you do is you plug your thumb drive in to see what was on it, okay, something classified. And it turns out that as soon as you plug these things in, that gave the Chinese another back door into reading our mail. So it's quite prevalent.
So they're all over the map here. They penetrated our military and our government complex. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically. It's a lot cheaper to steal a technology than to develop it themselves.
Well, Lao Tzu wrote that the most powerful warrior and the smartest one is the one who wins by not firing a shot. Are you implying that they're winning by not firing a shot, just by penetrating our defense contracting system?
It's worked in the past, and it's scary to think that what they may do with that.
Well, where are the Republicans in these hearings? Why don't they bring this man to court and try him for this and prove that he did it? We have a name. I mean, if you go to michaelsavage.com, I didn't write this article. I posted it from Reuters. U.S. waived laws to keep F-35 on track with China-made parts. It's a fabulous article from Reuters, of all places. And they named the man who did it. They named the guy who did it. Here it is, Frank Kendall. According to Pentagon documents reviewed by Reuters, chief U.S. arms buyer Frank Kendall allowed two F-35 suppliers, Northrop Grumman Corp. and Honeywell International, Inc., to use Chinese magnets for the new warplane's radar system, landing gears, and other hardware. So he did it. We know his name. Why is he not put in front of a hearing? Where is Congress?
The only way this guy got caught was that some of the parts he bought were substandard, obviously. And found that they...
This was, by the way, put out by the GAO. So there are still operatives inside our government who know what's going on, are trying to warn the American people, but we don't have an opposition party in the form of the Republicans to do anything about it. They're ballless and they're voiceless. And Boehner needs to put down the scotch and put down the ice and get to work. It's that simple. John Boehner, we're counting on you. Come out of the cloakroom, Clink.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I feel like I have 100 bulls behind me, raging to go. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Now let's go to the news. By the way, what do you think of my new opening? Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. This is the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, from anywhere in the United States. If you call this number, you will reach more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. In the studio right now, as I speak with you across America on the greatest stations in the country, and I don't have to mention them, they're the stations that everyone has ever wanted to be on from the day they entered radio. I know the day I entered radio, these are magical names. I can name them all, but I won't do it because the other hundreds that I won't mention will feel slighted. But you know what they are. Everybody wants to be on them. My competitor, who used to be on them, lost 52 stations. I got them all. I'll make the most of them. There's only one live being in the studio with me right now, and his name is Teddy. He's a 10.5-pound toy poodle. He's 10.5 years old. And he's been with me from the beginning. He's the smartest dog in the world because he's listened to every radio show over the last 10 years, and I'm sure some of it has seeped in. I do not think he would vote for a progressive, let's put it to you that way. He knows that all that would mean is they'd steal his bones and tell him they're doing it for the sake of equality. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. By the way, go over to michaelsavage.com when you get a spare minute. And take a look at that incredible picture of me and Ted in my 1970 Jag XKE convertible, which I bought this last year. You'll see a picture that is so beautiful. It's unbelievable. Then there's a great story from the Daily News. Michael Savage takes over Sean Hannity's slot. It was by David Hinckley. It's a fabulous article. But what's interesting is the print edition of the New York Daily News had a different headline. It was called Civilized Savage, which I thought was interesting. I mean, the headline on the internet was conservative radio host Michael Savage will now hold forth on WABC in the 3-6 slot. He'll take over from Sean Hannity. He promises an interesting Obamacare-free zone. Okay, but the headline in the newspaper was civilized savage? I mean, I can almost ask you this question. Have I become too civilized? I want to go to the news, and believe me, there's a lot of news. The global warming scam artists were trapped on the ice, for example, in the Antarctic. How much did that cost us? How much did the world pay for these snotty elitists to get stuck on the ice? How many icebreakers need to be sent for these losers? Number two, how much carbon was expended in icebreakers, in helicopters, in aircraft to take these academic microcephalics off the ice? You understand what I'm talking about. Truthfully, I believe that we need to demand reparations from the entire global warming industry, starting with Al Corleone. Let's start with Al's planes, trains, and other apparatus that he's been able to buy with the global warming scam. That would go a long way towards creating some equality in the United States of America. I actually think that the global warming scam artists, beginning with Al Corleone, the head of the Corleone crime family, in my estimation, the Corleone crime family should be forced to pay reparations for the global warming lies they have pushed and the billions upon billions of dollars they have stolen from the Treasury in the form of grants, contracts, carbon credits, and whatnot. You realize, of course, I'm in a new time slot. Many of you have been with me from the beginning, and this is the real question. I'm not going to ask it of you now. I'm going to take your calls at 855-407-282. You know why I want to take your calls? Because if you get through my call screener and you get on the Savage Nation, you will reach more people than you've met in your entire life. I want you to think about that. You may feel powerless. You may feel that the old letter to the editor days are over, and they are over. When have you last written a letter to the editor? Never. The editors are all left-wing pinko fanatics who throw your American letters in the garbage bin. So what do you have left? You have talk radio. That's all you have left. So if you get through the screener at 855-407-282, you'll remember this day for the rest of your life. I want to thank some people who made this possible. I know you think, well, why do it? Because I'll tell you why, because nothing happens by itself. I want to thank Lou and John Dickey, who own the Cumulus Media Networks, for giving me this incredible opportunity. Just remember what this is. I'm on the biggest stations in America. I'm not a newcomer to the business. I've been around for 20 years this March 21st. But I've been on a lot of different stations. And they saw something in me. They believed in me, and they gave me this shot. And believe me, I'll make the most of it. Oh, yeah, I've published 28 books. I've always had a large audience. Before I switched syndicators, I had the third largest audience in America, estimated to be between 8 and 10 million listeners. It then went down when it went to the night slot. My estimation is that given 6 months to a year, this show will be the biggest show in America. And I want to remind you of something else. The numbers don't matter that much to me. Because on the Internet, on Internet radio, I beat Rush. God bless Rush. God bless Rush. He's been around a long time. But check it out. Check the data. The younger people love Savage. The younger people listen to me on their iPhones. It's that simple. Now let's take some callers. Let's go to Ori on the Internet, one of the listeners who I don't know where you're from. Welcome to the program.
See, I'm from New York, and I'm a young guy listening on the Internet. You're spot on. The young people are going for Savage. I want to congratulate you first and foremost, and I'm also a radio talk show host myself at Yeshiva University. But I want to ask you, what, given your new time slot and given your new influence, how do you think you're going to be able to shape this upcoming election? I know you spoke about it.
Well, very simply, by exposing the progressives as the new communists to begin with, so people awaken to the rhetoric. Now, let's make it real simple. Keep it simple. The word progressive is a new code word for the new Marxism. Make no mistake about it. The same rhetoric coming out of their mouths can be heard in Havana to this day from Raul Castro. It's no different. It's been tried before. It leads to a disaster. It decimates the middle class. It destroys nations. It's like the plague. It's like locusts eating a nation alive.
But, Michael, we both know how bad the Republican Party is as well, but come election time, what kind of influence are you going to, directly say Christie's a good guy, he's a good candidate, or are we going to...
Well, you know how I feel about that situation. He's not the best candidate. However, you know he's going to be put forward. You know he's a middle-of-the-roader. You know that he's going to sell out the entire conservative wing of the party. You know that's coming. We have to wait for the midterm elections before we get to 2016. The most important election of your life is coming up next November. That is when the fate of the Senate is in the hands of the people. If Obama is allowed to steal by flooding the polling booths with millions of illegal aliens, the country is finished forever. It's over. He must be stopped at all costs. We must not permit him to use executive orders to grant amnesty to the illegal aliens who are not citizens, have no right to vote. He did this already. How do you think he got reelected? Everyone seems to be stupid. Just before the last election, do you remember what he did? He granted amnesty to the so-called Dreamers. There were 4 million of them. What was his margin of victory over Romney? About 4 million. Do you think they didn't vote? Of course they voted. Say, look, the vote is the sacred thing here. And if you let them rig elections and steal votes, then you have nothing left at all. Nothing to hang on to. Nothing whatsoever. Then you don't even have the will of the people. You have nothing. You have the will of the oligarchy, which is what we have right now. Just pay close attention to Obama coming back from his little Surf City USA vacation on your dime, the highest number of vacations at the highest price of any president in history because he believes in fairness and he's a progressive, huh? How does that work? Well, it's been done before in the ex-Soviet Union. They preached the same garbage. If you read Animal Farm in high school, you saw the same garbage. They preach one thing and they live the other. In the ex-Soviet Union, they preached about equality and fairness and to help the poor. And all of the workers for the government, the bureaucrats, they all had country houses. They had chauffeured limousines. Does it sound familiar to you? And the people fought over one salami in the butcher store. That's progressivism for you. That's the face of progressivism.
It's a kick working during the day. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of the day. That's looming now. After 3 o'clock, I don't know what to do with myself. I have to take up flying, the saxophone. I have to take up modern folk dance. I have to reread Lenin, Marx. I'll have to reread them in the original Russian. Of course, I don't have to reread Marx and Lenin. I don't have to reread Freud and Jung. I read them all, and frankly, we're hearing it all over again in the progressive socialist communist movement that is alive and well. How many progressives can there be in this country? There aren't that many. They're a small faction of academic losers, a very tiny percentage of politicians, and yet they pretend they speak for the people. They don't speak for the people. I have a simple solution to save America. I don't think it could be enacted because the Republicans don't exist and there's no guts out there. But here's the answer. And I'll give it to you real simple. You go on unemployment insurance, you lose the right to vote. You get welfare, you lose the right to vote. And then you have an incentive to find a job and get off unemployment. Then you vote again. Because if you continue to grant the right to vote to people who are sucking the system dry, we will all lose. There'll be nothing left. Look at Cuba. Look at every other Marxist country on the planet. And take a look at what happens when you let the people dictate the terms of a nation. They will eat you alive like locusts. They will decimate the middle class. They will take every dime out of your pocket and they'll still say it's unfair because you may have a better pair of shoes, a better house, and a better wife. They'll want your shoes, your house, and your wife. That's the way it works. You go on welfare? Too bad. Okay, we'll take care of you. But here's what's going to happen. You're not voting while you're on welfare. Then the people who work and pay taxes can determine the course of the nation, the ship, the nation. You can determine the direction of the ship if you have a vote in it. How can you have a vote in it if you're busy working and the so-called progressive academic communist socialist movement has nothing to do but scheme around the clock on methods to steal the real democracy, the shreds of democracy that are left in this nation? What do you think of my idea? Should people on welfare lose the right to vote and regain it when they are off welfare? What's wrong with that idea? Tell me what is wrong with that idea. Where is it written in the social contract that if you're living on the back of my labor, you should have the same rights and benefits that I have? Tell me where it's written. Tell me where it's written that if you're sticking your fingers in my pocket to take half of my salary away from me before I even get it, that you should have the same rights in determining the course of the ship of state. Tell me where it's written. Show me where. Show me where that's written. How could it be that there are more people on federal disability payments right now, over 12 million grifters, on federal disability under Obama than there are people living in the nation of Greece? 12 million Americans. Don't tell me they're all disabled. You know they're not. How'd you like to call with some disability horror stories? Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your brother-in-law. Maybe it's the deadbeat pot smoker next door. Don't get me started on the toxicants and marijuana. And don't tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. It's the most dangerous of all drugs. Marijuana is being used to completely ensnare the dopers in this country so they don't even know what's going on around them. Why do you think it's called dope? Why do you think that drug is called dope? Because that's what it does to your brain. But that's another topic for another day. And before you call me up and say this, say that, just Google toxicants in marijuana, and you'll find out that you're killing yourself slowly. Marijuana smoke has more toxicants in it than tobacco smoke. But you wouldn't know that because it's natural, isn't it? Well, tobacco's also natural. It is. Curare is natural. There are many natural poisons. Marijuana is one of them. 855-400-7282. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'll tell you about a part in our F-35 that's illegal, not supposed to be made anywhere but in America, and Obama and the contractors went around the law and permit China to make a $2 part, a magnet that we believe has been encrypted with a chip. How could this be possible? How could people not be in prison? In my time, if a contractor did that, and they found out which shyster contractor did it, they try him, convict him, and they execute him. It's called treason. You say, well, it can't really be happening in America. You're over-exaggerating. You're an alarmist. I will refer again to the slime as expressed in the movie The Wolf of Wall Street. The drug addicts, for example, in that movie, as portrayed in that movie. Are you telling me that the people in the defense business are any better? I don't mean the engineers on the ground who make the thing, you know, design and make the things. I'm talking about the business people who go after government contracts. Are you assuming they're of a better class than the low-life drug-addicted contractors as portrayed in that movie? Now, let's take it a step further. Why do you assume that your leadership in the Democrat Party in particular is any better than the scum in the movie Wall Street, whatever, Wolf? Why do you assume they're not drug addicts? That they sell their mother-in-law down the river for an extra nickel? They act like they would. They're selling their children's heritage. They're selling their children's financial future, military future. Why do you assume that they're any better than the drug addicts as portrayed in that movie? Why do you assume that they're a better class of people? Why, because they wear a white shirt and tie on television? Something's very wrong with everything. Now, I can't blame the cold weather on Obama. I would like to. I have searched as far as I could all meteorological maps and whatnot over the past 100 years, and there's almost no way I can blame this on Axelrod and Obama or on Valerie Jarrett. I've tried, but it can't be done. But we can blame this on them. We can blame a lot of things on them, and we will. That's our job. See, our job in talk radio is to be a show about the truth. Otherwise, there's no point in it. What do you need, entertainment about a buffet? I can do that, but only when I'm in the mood. You don't need a buffet entertainment. You don't need stupid, stale jokes that are boring. You can get them anywhere. Ultimately, there's no reason for talk radio unless it exposes things or expounds on things that are normally not talked about or lets you vent on them. Otherwise, what's the point of talk radio? Think about it. You know, these people are such skilled con men that they could sell ice to stoned Eskimos. WABC Andrew, you're the next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, you went a long way from the son of an immigrant having to wear dead man's pants to number one in radio.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, it is. That's one of my favorite stories is dead man's pants. And I wouldn't say unfortunately it's true. It is true. I didn't want to wear dead man's pants, but that's what I wore. But here we are. Now, you know what's interesting? You've raised that topic. My father was an immigrant. My grandfather was an immigrant. They didn't need any government to help them work. They died poor. They told me the baton was passed to me as man-child in the promised land. I was born here. They told me I'd have to work to get what I wanted, and work I did. I mean, it took me 20 years in some cases to get what I wanted, but I didn't ask the government to help me. I just asked the government to get out of my way. In fact, the government stood in my way. After I got my doctorate from the University of California, they said white men need not apply. They said we need to be fair. We need to be equal. Well, take a look at your universities today. Take a look what they're teaching them there. That's fairness. That's what it leads to. Fairness is a code word for something else. You can fill in the blanks. Don't be confused by the rhetoric. It's the new communism.
Savage.